Good morning to everyone. You may be seated. It's a blessing to be here with you all again. I've already been very blessed by the song service and the songs we sang here. Just been a blessing. So this morning I have a bit of a different topic for me. It's a little, I hope we can learn something from it and I can share it clearly so we can all glean something from it. Maybe I'll begin with a word of prayer here. Father, this morning we come before you again, Lord, and just recognize our need of you, Father, our inability to do anything without you, Lord. Father, this morning I just ask that you could be with me as I share these thoughts you've given me. Ask, Father, that you could only put the words in my mouth that you want me to say, Father, and use them to further serve and glorify you, Lord. Just give me strength. We pray this in your name. Amen. So, to begin with, I guess in my Bible reading the last while, I've been reading through the books of First and Second Chronicles. And it's Second Chronicles goes through and talks a lot about the kings of Judah. So we'll be looking at that a little bit. Looking at some of their lives and some of the things that happened there. Mostly be looking at parts of it, mostly the beginning and the ends, I guess. Just bear with me here. So the first king we want to look at was Jotham, and that's in, we'll start reading in 2 Chronicles 27, 1 through 9. And there's a lot of examples here. There's a lot of kings, but I just picked a couple of them out, and we'll go through those. So I'll read this here. Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerusha, and the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. He built the high gate of the house of the Lord, and on the wall of Ophel he built much. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, and forests, and in the forests he built castles and towers. He fought also with the king of Ammonites and prevailed against them. And the children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver, 10,000 measures of wheat, and 10,000 of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him both the second year and the third. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his way before the Lord his God. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all his wars and his ways, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Ahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. So a couple things we want to look at here with Jotham. So we'll kind of go back over it a little bit. So if we look in verse 2 here, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did the things that were commanded of the Israelites at that time. He was following the Lord as he had been commanded. This is the commandments had been given to them. And we noticed here that he had a lot of success as far as he was victorious in his battle. He had peace in most of his time. He did a lot of building. He strengthened Judah a lot, and he was very prosperous, he would say. God blessed him in his time there. We see in verse 5 that he was victorious over his battle with the Ammonites. God gave them into his hand, and they were servants to him then. And we see in verse 6, it says, "So Jotham became mighty because he prepared the way, his way before the Lord his God." And that's what I wanted to focus on a little bit, was the reason that he was successful in his as a king there was because he prepared his way before the Lord, and he did the things that were commanded of him, and sought the Lord and was faithful to him. And we see that Jotham was blessed of God. So next I'd like to keep on going here, and we'll look in 2 Chronicles 28 here some, and we're going to be doing a lot of jumping around, so just bear with me. So, start reading here. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, but he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images of Balaam. Moreover, he burned incense in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also the burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. So here we see that the next king to come along was as bad or worse than the people that God drove out of the land when he brought the Israelites into it. It talks about sacrificing to all the idols, and he did not the commandments of the Lord. He was very wicked. And we'll see what happens as we keep going here. So I'll keep reading. "Wherefore the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Assyria, and they smote him and carried away a great multitude of the captives and brought them to Damascus. And he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who smote him with a great slaughter. And Pekah, the son of Remaliah, slew in Judah 120,000 in one day, which were all valiant men, because they had forsaken the law, before they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. And Zechariah, a mighty man of Ephraim, slew Mezai, the king's son, and Azarim, the governor of the house of Elkanah, that was next to the king. And the children of Israel carried away captive to their brethren 200,000 women, sons, daughters, and took also away much spoil from them that brought the spoil to Samaria. So here we see that God gave Judah into the hands of their enemies. He allowed Judah's enemies to be victorious over them because they were no longer following him. And we'll keep reading here, jumping to verse 16. "At that time did King Uzziah send unto the king of Assyria to help him. For again the Edomites had come and smitten Judah and carried away captives. And the Philistines also had invaded the cities of the low country in the south of Judah and had taken Beth Shemesh and Ajalon and Gederoth and Shochan." Excuse me, these names are a little bit of a challenge for me. "With the villages thereof and Timnah with the villages thereof, Gimzo also, and the villages thereof, and they dwelt there. And the Lord brought Judah low, because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. And Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, came unto him and distressed him, but strengthened him not. For Ahaziah took away portion out of the house of the Lord and put the house and out of the house of the king and the princes and gave it unto the king of Assyria, but he helped him not. And in the time of distress, he did trespass yet more against the Lord. This is the king. This is that King Ahaz. Excuse me. Sorry about that. So we see that they were distressed more and more. Ahaz sent money to hire the Assyrians to come help him, and they took his money but didn't help him. They just fought against him. And if we look here in verse 19, it says, "For the Lord brought Judah low because Ahaz, king of Israel, for he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord." So we see that he continued to distress the children of Israel there in Judah because of their lack of, they didn't follow him. Going to jump on to verse 24. "And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord and made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem." And then down to 27. "And Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem, but they brought him not into the sepulcher of the kings of Israel. And Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his stead." So we see that he was, the worse it got, the less he did the commandments of the Lord. He continued to persist in his ways there. And in verse 27, they didn't even bury him in the king's sepulcher there. So we're going to go on down and start reading a little bit about Hezekiah here. And this will be jumping around quite a bit, so bear with me. So let's begin reading in 29, read the first three verses. "Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them." So he immediately began going back to doing what the Lord had commanded them to do, and he started repairing the temple. He was very active in all of that, and immediately began to follow the Lord. All of the rest of chapter 29 is about a lot of the details there, and we're just going to skip over that and go to chapter 30. And I'll read some of the first verses here. "And Hezekiah sent all Israel and Judah to and wrought letters unto Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation of Jerusalem to keep the Passover on the second month, for they could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together at Jerusalem." So here we see he has a desire to keep the Passover, which has not been done for quite a long time. Due to the way things were being done, they had forsaken that, and he had a desire to do that again. So he made a tremendous effort to gather all the people together and have a Passover. It was an exciting time for them there. And we're going to jump on quite a ways ahead. A lot of that is about the details of that. And we're going to jump to 31 verse 20. Take note of a couple of things here. "And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right through and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law of the commandments to seek God. He did it with all his heart and prospered. So we can see that he was following the Lord. He was doing what was commanded of them at that time, and he was prospering. Feel like I'm missing something here. Okay, I guess we'll keep going here. Verse 32, or chapter 32, verse 1. After these things, the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and throughout, and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel of his princes and his mighty men and stopped the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So we're going to kind of go over this a little fast. So the king of Assyria came to attack Israel, and he immediately took action to prepare for battle in that time. So first Sennacherib sent his ambassador there, and just pretty much tried to convince the people to surrender. And we're going to jump ahead of that and go to verse 19. Here in verse 19. And they spake against the God of Jerusalem and against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the work of the hands of men. And for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah and the son of Amos prayed and cried to heaven. And the Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders of the captains of the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come into the house of his God, they that come forth from his own bowels slew him there with the sword. So we see that God delivered King Ahaz and the children of Israel there from the battle. I don't think they really did very much fighting there. God delivered them from that because they were faithful to him. Then he was their help when they in time of trouble. So we're going to jump on up to read verse 24 here. In those days Hezekiah was sick and to death, and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. And Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. So we see that God healed Hezekiah from a sickness he had. And then Hezekiah was not entirely faithful. He was proud here, lifted up. His heart was lifted up, but he repented there in verse 26. So we're going to jump on down to verse 32 and 33 here. Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and his goodness, behold, they are written in the vision of Isaiah the prophet, son of Amaz, and in the book of the king of Judah and Israel. And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the chiefest of the sepulchres of the sons of David. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did him honor at his death, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. So we see that he was honored at the time of his death. He was a faithful king and walked with the Lord most of his life there. And maybe we're starting to pick up a bit of a pattern here. If we look in, I'm going to stop there, but if we look in chapter 33, verse 2, it says, "But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel." And we start the cycle over again. And I guess that's as I read over these kings, and one did what was right, and the next one did what was wrong, and the calamity that befell them once, and then they were faithful, and then things went well, and then they were not faithful, and then there was calamity again. And I started to wonder, how many times do they have to go through this before they learn a few things about what happens, cause and effect? And thinking about those things, I started to think, you know, it's obviously put in there for a reason for us to learn some things from. And I started wondering, how often do we do the same thing in our own lives? Do we continue to fall and not learn from our mistakes? Getting ahead of myself here a bit. Yeah, we all know the quote, if we keep doing what we're doing, we'll keep getting what we're getting. So God has a purpose. He put it in the Bible here for more than just history. So I started trying to think of ways that we could apply that, the lessons learned, or the some of those things to our life, the lessons that those people should have been learning. So bear with me a little. So I have a couple, different areas I'd like to try to apply this to our lives in. It's not complete, and there's not an answer necessarily here for these. The idea is to make us all think about these things and ponder them. So first of all, just as a church, if we look in history, there's been many groups of people that have started out right and have done that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and they were faithful to Him, and then over time they lost their way. They began well, and then they get distracted. We allow other things to get into our life and to take our time. We begin to get lax, not spending the time we need to with the Lord, and just busyness of life, and soon, you know, things can go downhill fast. And but if we're going to make it as a church, we're going to have revival. There's going to have to be fire in our hearts, and we're going to have zeal in order to make it, or we'll just be another rotation of the same thing, just like has happened over and over in history. And I think there's something we can learn from the people who have not, or there's a lot that can be learned from the history there of other groups. Revival and discipleship are very important if we maintain where we're at and continue on, and do not lose our way. We don't want to be like those kings or like the Israelites were, and repeat the same cycle and go over this again and again. Another area I thought of, victory is another application to the principle from the lesson of the children of Israel. If victory in our lives, are we having victory in our lives? Is there sin that we continue to struggle with, feelings, many, many things there? I'm not trying to be all-inclusive with that. I'm just asking. And if we're not, then that means if we're not having victory, then we're having repeated failure. And that's a lot the same cycle. We're not learning from our past, not learning from things we did, what happened the last time this happened, or something we're missing. We're not learning from our experiences or from other people's experiences. And repeated failures, like the children of Israel, when they repeatedly come to the Lord and then they go back to the idols, and they come to the Lord and they come back to the idols, and it's a bit of the same scenario. And I think we can learn from that, and we don't need to go. We can learn from our mistakes. God has made a way of victory for us. He's led us by example. Revelation 3:21 says, "Him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." So he promises to help us overcome. And one more area here, it's also to the unconverted that are here. We don't have to continue to struggle with sin. We don't have to go. God has given us another chance. We can see what God has done in other people's lives and with our own experiences, that it's not, doesn't have to be, we don't have to experience it all to realize that there's something better out there for us. We can see the death and the pain, the misery that comes from living in sin, and we don't have to experience it all. So we can learn from history in that. If you compare those things, the death and the pain and the misery that comes from sin, to the joy that comes from serving the Lord and the peace, we can learn. You know, we can avoid all of those things, and be faithful to God. Sorry for my scattered thoughts, and then it's a lot. It's very incomplete in all those areas. But it's just some thoughts that I'd been thinking that God had been putting on my heart, and I felt Him telling me I should share some of them with you all. Again, it's not really very complete, but I guess it was. Hopefully, it can help us all to think about some of those things and think about areas in our lives where we may be repeatedly struggling with the same thing or not following through and continuing on. We just keep coming back to the idols as the kings did. And just want to encourage us to press on and go all the way. So, thank you. God bless.